wonderful message here. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Rachel. You know, I love to see the growth of us all, and I see a tremendous amount of growth in Rachel just in the fact of her recognizing God more so than she ever has, and the faith that she is actually walking in, which is a beautiful thing. And I just really am very grateful for the work of this ministry, amen, and everyone that plays a part in it, amen. So let's give the Lord another hand of praise for that. You know, I'm speaking a message right now, a series, and Jim, are we good to go? Okay, I want to welcome all the nations that are logging on right now. Without them and their support, and you know, if you can, there's a PayPal button there, smack that button, you know, and pound that PayPal button. If everyone gives a dollar, we'd be really doing great. With that being said, though, I want to welcome all the nations, because I serve a God that is for the whole world. I mean, it's not just the United States God or the European God or the Asian God or the, what's the other places, you know, what's that other God? Yeah, the Jewish God or the Muslim God or whatever that is. I serve one God, and it's the God of the whole world, the God of creation, and the God of faith. And, you know, I've been speaking a series of why God, and I believe we have to understand why God. And, you know, we can't do nothing without God. God is the center core of creation. God is the center core of materializing form. Without God, we wouldn't exist. Without God, nothing would exist. Not even the trees, not even the earth, not even the stars in heaven. God is the center core of every bit of creation. We're all made up of God, every bit of us. Everything that you see is all made up of God. God is everything. How many people are following me on this one? Amen. So for you to ignore God, you're just walking in ignorance. That's all. It's plain and simple. And ignorance in religion, and we're far from religion, we're life. And I want to make that clear. This is not a religious organization in the sense of man's terms. Yes, we are a 501c3 nonprofit, religious, so to say, organization as far as speaking a message of God. But we're not religion. And the difference between this ministry here and religion is this. Religion has its do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. It has a form of godliness, but it's denying the power. With us, we don't have a form of godliness. We are God in the sense that we are pure faith, believing in God, and our whole life is consumed in God. And we want to bring this truth to you. It's not a do and a don't and a right and a wrong where you have a form of righteousness. Our righteousness is within. We believe that God is within everyone around the world. And in that, He has established His laws that are written on your heart for you to believe and follow. For us, we don't come under judgment and we don't come under condemnation. We look at you as unique and a child of God and direct you to follow His commandments, not our commandments, not our rules that we lay on the table for you to read and follow. But the laws that are written on your heart, and this is why I say, why God? You've been created unique, wonderful, beautifully made. Why change you based on maybe my doctrine of belief or maybe an organization of Judaism or Muslim or Asian or whatever it might be, belief? Belief is inside of you. Every bit that God has created is within you. And your obedience in following the law of his commandments that is written on your heart, which is your laws to follow, is the only way that you will experience a peace that will surpass all of your understanding. It will enable you to taste a joy that you have never tasted before. And it will give you a cloak of righteousness to make you feel very, very cleansed, that following a law can't make you cleansed. A man's law, I should say. So that's my kind of introduction of why my God. Why do I beg you to follow my God? Not for my works. Listen, God has already prepared a place for me. My life is already predestined, and I'm going to be perfectly fine. Why? Because I know my God, and I follow him. I worship him. I honor him. I look at him and glorify him. And by how I do all this is because I found the law that is written on my heart, and I follow it unconditionally. How many people are following me on that one? So I'm going to be okay. My great concern is for you. And the reason why I do what I'm doing is not because it's my career, even though God has called me. It's not something that I feel obligated to do because, you know, I have to make a living. I do it because of the law written on my heart. I'm commissioned by God to have a concern for you, to have this in my heart for you to find God, so that you could give him glory and honor and praise. And when you find this book written on your heart, when you finally surrender to follow this, when you finally taste the joy that I'm talking about and you experience the peace and you're cloaked and clothed in this righteousness, all you'll do is you'll probably thank me, but most of all, you'll be glorifying God. And that's what he wants. I'm just the one who's been commissioned to point you to glorify his name. And I hope and pray that you will hear the words that I have to say. I hope and pray that you will understand what I am saying. And I'm going to share something here. This book right here, okay, is a great book. It's been inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's been written. It has been altered by the canons many, many years ago. I wish and pray that they would have never touched it, because there's a lot of mysteries. But this book here, it's been given to me to know the mysteries. It's an honor to be given to know the mysteries of this book. You can try to read it, but if it's not been given to you to know the mysteries, it'll confuse the heck out of you. But hear me. I'm here to reveal the mysteries to you that is in this book. It's not religion, it's life. I'm not religious, I'm life. And when I say I'm life, I mean that I know what life is. It's not a rule book of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. It's just me trying to uncover your book that is written on your heart so that you will experience life. Because life is within you, not my handwriting of trying to tell you how I think life is, only what's written on your heart. I can only encourage you. If God reveals what's on your heart to me, that's a different story, I can tell you. But with just being conversational, so to say, only you know what's written on your heart. Only you know what you feel good or bad, right or wrong about. And I hope and pray that the things that aren't written on your heart, because our hearts are deceivingly wicked, and maybe one day I'll tell you why, God, so that you don't fall in the trap of deception. But at the same time, I hope and pray that God reveals to you conviction, because conviction is like our direction of path. When we feel that it's not good and not right, I hope and pray that it enhances those feelings so that you will walk away from it and not be trapped. When you start to feel that the things that you're doing aren't good, that you can walk away and not be in that position of falling into a trap. How many people are following me, what I'm saying? That's my greatest prayer, is that your eyes would have an understanding and that you would begin to feel God's direction in your life. If you feel that conviction of not doing it, or you feel dirty, or you feel that it's not right, or it's not good, walk away. Walk away fast. Don't get trapped. Don't let your flesh pull you into a pit. Let it go. And then on the other hand, if you feel really good about it, and you feel really excited, move forward. And move forward as fast as you can. Don't delay God's plan for your life. Sometimes we tend to hem and haw on our feelings. Don't hem and haw on your feelings. Those feelings are right. Those feelings are important. Those feelings are the knock on your door. Those feelings, and I'm going to share feelings, and I hope and pray that I can give you the place of discernment on feelings, because there's two types of feelings. One is a radical, uncontrollable feeling that causes you to do the things that you don't want to do. And then there's another feeling that comes in peace, that comes in a form of just, you know, calmness. And it gives you that direction. And that's the one that I want you to know. Feelings are good. Some people say feelings are bad. No, they're not. Feelings are great. Feelings are the pathway to our righteousness. And so with that being said, if you have your Bibles, there's really no need to pick one up. You can hold on to it. You don't have to open it up. I'm going to open it up, though, because there's something here that I want to read. It's in Romans. And in Romans chapter 16. Verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." I just want to stop right there, because it is the power of salvation for everyone to believe. And right now, I want to talk about why God. You can't do anything in your own strength. You need power. You need power. You need power to wake up. You need power to go get yourself dressed. You need power to have enough enthusiasm and drive to do something. Has anyone ever feel powerless, where they just wanted to not do anything and just lay in bed all day and not even get up? How about just hanging out in a place of depression? Oh, okay. Now, I'm going to tell you that if you don't feel like doing anything, that's not always a bad thing, okay? So there are times where we might have to just not do anything for the day. And of course, you know, lies will try to come in our heads and say, oh, you should be doing something. Look at you. You're laying around not doing anything. But there are days where we just need some rest. But if there are days after days after days after days that we're just not doing anything, and we're just milking off of our resources or whatever and draining them completely down, then you got a concern. Okay? So I want you to begin to start understanding the difference of not being able to do anything, and it's okay, and then just taking full advantage of not doing anything and falling into a really bad slump. But we need power. We can't function without power. And God is power. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And why this book here, the Holy Bible, why it speaks of Christ is because it's just a name. It's a name to identify something other than yourself. It's Christ is considered the Son of God, okay? But I want to look at it as this way. It's Christ in you, the hope. It's the power in you, the hope of all glory. And how many people understand what glory is? Okay? Glory is victory. Glory is success. Glory is accomplishing something. Glory is reaching from point A to point B with ease. How many people are following me on this one? It could be anything. It could be just a matter of going food shopping. It might be just a matter of getting up and taking a shower and getting ready for the day. Every move we make in power. Every move we make in Christ or God. And we want to be able to discern and understand the difference and always have God in, as the center focus piece in our move, in our walk. I was mentioning to a wonderful brother, Dennis, earlier, and I said, I don't go anywhere by myself. And he looked at me like, And I said, I may be alone, but I'm not alone. I have God with me. Through faith, I've created a power that is next to me, that gives me the hope, that gives me the joy. I'm never alone. Even though I may be alone, I'm never alone. I wake up in the morning with God. I go to bed at night with God. I go throughout my day with God. I'm always calling upon Him saying, okay, God, let's go. Because I know that when I call upon His name, when I humble myself and call upon His name, when I acknowledge Him and I call upon Him, I know that I'm being endured with power. And I want power. I remember this revelation came to me when I was in Mexico. And I didn't want to minister, and I had time. I had to minister. They called me up and said, oh, the pastor, the man, and I was like, oh, okay. And I'm like, I really don't want to do this. And as soon as I called on the name of God, I said, okay, God, let's go. I just watched the power of God wipe out that whole service. People were just getting touched by the presence of Him. Healings, deliverances, salvation was just happening. And I didn't have to do anything. The power of God is there. It's real. It's evident in my life. And I want it evident in your life. How many people want to go somewhere or do something with glory? That's what I want. I want my life filled with glory. I want the glory of God. I want the victory of God. I don't want the glory of man, which will fade away and disappear. When the sun comes up, it'll burn it up. I want the glory of God. And when you walk in the glory of God, you walk in the power which we call the Holy Spirit. We call it the Holy Spirit because it's really the glory within inside of us. We're all holy. Now, there's a difference when our hearts are deceivingly wicked. We're called sinners. But that's just because we don't acknowledge the glory of God. That's all it is. It's not like we did anything wrong. It's not a good and bad, right and wrong nonsense. That's a lie. It's such a lie. And I can't stand it. I'm going to break and destroy that power of lie. We're all good. When we acknowledge the glory of God. When we begin to acknowledge Him and we exalt Him and say, okay, God, let's go. As soon as we begin to call on the name of God and we allow Him to be our salvation, because it's the power of our salvation. God is the power of our salvation. If we want success in our lives, how many want success? How many want victory? How many want to wake up tomorrow and not have an issue with our health? That's my favorite glory. I just want to wake up whole. I want a sound mind. This is where I start. This is when I was bringing the men that God called from the very beginning of this ministry. And that's why I'm so proud of the elders and the leaders of this ministry, because they have taken the gospel and they believed in it. And as they believed in it, they were able to bring God and the glory of God in their lives and be able to destroy the powers of darkness. To be able to walk in the glory of God and be successful in the things that they do only because they have given God that place in their life. They have been able to taste the joy and taste the peace and have the righteousness that only God can give you. And that's why I say, why God? If you walk without God, you're always going to doubt yourself. You're always going to be at a place of saying, am I doing the right thing? Am I really doing the right thing? Is this good for me? You're never going to have this confidence of righteousness to the point where you're saying, no, I don't care what you say. The whole world can tell me I'm wrong, but I know that I'm doing the right thing. But you don't understand. Look what's happening. No. Because you don't know the end results. You have no clue what is about to happen. You might see something that may not be good in your eyes, but in God's eyes, He turns all things around for the good to those who love Him. And when you love Him, you show an example. In your heart, you have peace. That's how you know if you love God. In your heart, you have peace. In your heart, you have joy. In your heart, you have righteousness. And this is why I say, why God? We got to give God that glory that is far beyond what we can comprehend or imagine so that we can give it back to Him. There is another verse that I want to read, and it's in Ephesians, and it's a prayer. And in the prayer, it says, Ephesians 1, chapter 15, it says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. There's a great word right there. Those who believe. And without belief, without faith, you cannot please God. And this is as simple as it gets. Just acknowledge that He's there with you. I want to make this message so simple, because it's the simplicity of the gospel that brings us to salvation. I could sit here all day and speak all kinds of persuasive, fancy words. I can be so intelligent and intellectual, far beyond your comprehension, that you walk out of here going, huh? And just say, just believe. Just trust me. Just trust me. But I don't want you to trust me. I want you to trust God. I want you to start living your life with God, with belief. It's just as simple as saying, okay, God, come with me. Help me. Open up my eyes that I can see. Move on my feelings so that I know through your conviction that I'm walking in the right direction. I want you to have God as your leader. I want you to have God as your relationship so that your life will be protected and led exactly the way He wants it to be led. I can tell you to go here and go there and don't do this and don't do that. And I hope my words bear witness with you, because I only want you to listen if it bears witness. If it don't, run. But I guarantee they'll bear witness, because my heart is for you. My heart is for you to be on the right path. My heart is to make sure that you don't fall in the trap. My job is to destroy the works of darkness and bring the light into a dark place. I'm the light of the world, and the light that I have to give you is knowledge. A knowledge of who God is, a knowledge of His power, a knowledge of the mysteries that you don't know. It was been granted to me to know the mysteries, and I'm honored. I'm very honored. I don't put myself above anyone. I bring myself down lower than the lowest. For your sake, I want you to be able to have a life. How many people really want a life? Amen. How many people want to really taste this joy that I'm talking about? Man, you can have a storm like you wouldn't believe all around you. But when you have God, you have His power of supernatural protection. And the storm can't touch you. You can actually put yourself in a bubble and you don't even get touched by the storm. I remember, I'll give you a quick testimony. I was, I think it was in Norway, and I was ministering to a church, and it was Auntie Ann, and she was a wonderful woman of God. And there was a storm, and I got out of the car, and it was literally raining all around me, but not raining where I was. And as I walked to the church, it was like the clouds parted, and just in a 20-foot radius, it wasn't raining. And I didn't even get wet. It was a sign and a wonder and a miracle just to show those that were around me who I was. And I want everyone to be able to know that these things could happen to you too. That you could be walking with God and you will be a sign, a wonder, and a miracle. So that their eyes will be opened up and be able to see God through you. How would you like, Tim, to hit a home run? You know, when you didn't think it was possible and all of a sudden, man, and that was the one that brought the winning score in. And it was through God and His glory when you stepped up to the plate and you said, okay, God, let's go. Why not? Why not? He shows the people signs and wonders and miracles. And this has happened for centuries. When Moses left from Israel, or took from Egypt, the Israelites, and took them, he stopped at the waters and said, okay, God, what do I do? And He said, hold up your hands. And then what happened? God showed a sign and a wonder and a miracle. Do you think Moses knew what was going to happen? He probably had no clue. He was probably thinking that a big ship was going to come by and pick them all up. It's far beyond what we can comprehend or even imagine. That's the God that I serve. This is why I say, why God? We need Him. We need the power of the supernatural world. We need this power in our lives so that others could see God. How is anyone going to know God unless you aren't the one showing them? How are they going to hear God if you're not the one that's glorifying Him? He doesn't exist without you. He doesn't exist without you walking with Him, demonstrating the supernatural, because we are supernatural people. When we begin to say, okay, God, come with me. Watch. Watch how He parts the waters for you. Watch how He parts the waters for you. Makes a way where there is no other way. As soon as you begin to start calling on the name of the Lord, He fills the desires of your heart. He knows what you need. He knows what's going to bring you joy. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows. And as you begin to start just simply humbling ourselves and saying, okay, God, let's go. As a little child, you come unto him. Okay, God, let's go. And as you begin to exercise this faith, as you begin to exercise his presence, as you begin to exercise his glory, you walk in it. You begin to demonstrate the glory of God. Supernaturally, you walk in it. This is for you. For you to experience the glory and reveal the glory of God. He's always out there wanting to show his power. He's always wanting to show his glory. But who will go? Who will be the one to say, okay, God, come with me? It's not your power and it's not your might. It's when we humble ourselves and we walk in the presence of him. I'm going to tell you how to walk in the presence of God. Are you ready? Here we go, God. Let's go. I'm walking in the presence of him now. Come on, God. Come on, God. I don't go anywhere unless he's there. God, I'm not going anywhere unless you're there with me. And that's the same words that Moses said when he was on that mount. When God called him to go to Pharaoh and deliver his people. You know what he said? I'm not going unless you're there with me. And as soon as he said that, he walked in the glory of God. I want to show you how simple it is to have a relationship with God. I want you to understand how simple it is. And he doesn't even care about how good you are. That's the beauty. He doesn't care what you did yesterday. He refines us. He makes us shine. He's the one that cleanses us and cleans us all up and puts his righteousness on us. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're trying to be a good person before you ask God to come with you, you're going to waste your time. Because our righteousness to God is like filthy rags. He goes P.U. on our good deeds. He doesn't want to hear about our good deeds. He doesn't want to see our good deeds. He wants to see us humble. He wants to see us in a place of humility so he knows that we can't do nothing without him. He knows that we're messed up, sinful, or whatever you want to call it, frail, prideful, egoistic. He knows. But the greatest glory that anyone can demonstrate is humility and calling upon the name of the Lord. And that's the glory of God. When you can lay your life down to the point where you realize you can do nothing on your own. Not even can you control your heart ticking for the next moment. It is God that gives you life. And that life is everlasting when you exalt his name. How many of us can guarantee that our heart can keep ticking for another 10 more minutes? I don't think any of us can. This revelation came to me not too long ago that I realized that I'm only alive because he allowed me to be. And if we can continue to walk this way and not take life for granted and begin to thank him for the breath that we breathe, the air that we breathe, the emotions that we have throughout the day, whether they're good or bad, the life that's inside of us, the feelings of gratitude and even disappointment, they're all from him. And be grateful and have that grateful heart and begin to exalt him for who he is. Because without him, we would be nothing. Without him, we wouldn't even be here. Without him, life would not be the way we would like it to be. You have hopes. You have dreams. You have inspirations. You have desires. If not, you're dead. And the way I look at it is there's everyone here and everyone that is listening to me has a desire, has some type of ambition, has some type of hope, has some type of dream. And God is the only way, the only one that can make that possible for you. That is sustainable. That there's joy in it. You can fulfill the same hope in your own power, but you're going to have doubt in it. It's not going to taste that good. It's going to be like, well, I thought this is what I wanted, but I guess it really isn't. That's because you filled it in your own strength. God didn't make it taste good. But when you fill your hopes in Him, it's the best flavor ever. It's the best taste that you have ever had in your mouth. When you taste and see of the glory of God, the hope that is filled in Him is the best tasting hope that you could have ever tasted. You'll never be disappointed. How many of us fulfilled a hope and were disappointed? We can be honest. We did it in Him. How about a failing marriage? This one's a strong one. No one wants to hear this one. But you had hopes in it when you stood there and said, I did, or I do. And then it failed. Did your hope went sour? Did your hope go bad? Yes. And there's a reason why. It's because you didn't have God within it. You made it happen in your own power. Now we can repent. We can change the things that we're thinking. We can go ahead and move forward and say, Lord, I don't want to have that bitter taste in my mouth anymore. I don't want to walk with bitterness in my mouth. I want You. I want Your sweetness. I want Your goodness. Everything that I do now, I want to walk in You so that I can taste Your goodness. If you listen to my words and follow my instruction, you're going to see that once you taste His glory, you'll never want any glory after that. Never. My words are true. Sometimes they're hurtful. But truth has to come in order for you to walk in wholeness and be healed. How many people are following me? Now I have this one saying that never understood it. You'll hate me, but later you'll love me. And now I understand why. Because when we are in sin, nobody wants to hear that we did these things and we were wrong in it. But the things that you did were right. The only difference is you didn't walk with God in it. You didn't call upon His name in it. You did it in your own glory. You did it in your own strength. And that's why it's failing. God is a jealous God, and He won't have any other gods before Him. And He will force your failure. He will force it to fail until you wake up and realize that that glory that you were walking in was your own glory and not the glory of God. It's not what you did was wrong. What you did is you didn't walk with Him. How many people are following me? I'm telling you, if we don't repent, the things that we're walking in will only last for a moment, and He will find a way where it will be destroyed. It's sad, but it's true. And that's why I stand here today confessing the glory of God. That's why I stand here today and tell you that if you don't walk in the glory of God, what you will walk in is failure. There is a force, a darkness that will come and destroy. It will come and steal and destroy. God and His power is the only thing that holds back that force. And without God, you're not protected. Without God, you're walking naked. You're vulnerable. You're vulnerable to be attacked, and you have no protection. You have no glory around you. It's not that we did anything right or wrong. We walked in ignorance. We walked in not knowing God. We walked in unbelief. And it's unbelief that is like taking your protection away. It's unbelief, not giving God that glory, takes your protection, your shield away. How many people are following me here? Amen. And it's as simple as just calling upon the name of the Lord. It's as simple as saying, I don't want to be attacked. I don't want failure. I don't want my health being attacked. I don't want my children being attacked. I don't want my marriage being attacked. I don't want these attacks. And when you walk in the reverence, fear of God, it's the beginning of wisdom. And in that wisdom, it will move upon your heart to do the right things. It'll move upon your heart to say the right words. It'll move upon your heart to love the right way. It'll move upon your heart to do the things that need to be done in order to restore and keep what your hopes are, to keep what is there. And it will shut every door so that the darkness, the forces of darkness, cannot come in and destroy what your hopes are. You're vulnerable. If you don't walk with God, you have no power, and you're vulnerable. And the darkness goes around looking to and fro who he can destroy. He looks for the glory of God, and when he sees that there is no glory, he attacks. There's no glory, because he knows he can't be defeated. But if he goes around and he sees the glory on you, all of a sudden, ooh, don't touch his anointed. There's a protection on that person's life that the glory of God, I cannot penetrate it. And I will not touch his anointed one. I will not touch his anointing. I will not touch it. Matter of fact, I will bless it. And now you have your enemies at your feet blessing you. How many want your enemies blessing you? Then take this simple message that is so hard, but simple. And begin to walk with God. Begin to walk in the glory of God. You want the glory of God? Put that shield on. 24-hour, 3-day, 7-day. Let's protect our fortress. Let's protect our house. Let's protect our kingdom. Let's protect our city. Let's protect what we have. By walking with the power, the only power, the power of the gospel that I am not ashamed of. It's the power of salvation. And I will be bold to confess the power of God. And I will forsake all so that the glory of God will be bestowed on me, empowered on my life. Once you taste this power, once you taste the glory of God, once you see the favor of God, you're never going to want to walk with anything else. You won't even walk with yourself, because self does not exist anymore. It's like, self, you stay there. I don't even want you over here. I want the glory of God. The beauty is God is so prone to forgive. It's like he'll forgive whatever we did. Forgiveness is in seconds. As soon as you just say, Lord, you know, I don't know if this was a mistake or not, but you know what? I'm in it. Forgive me. And instantly, boom, 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 boom. And it's forgotten. And now you're erased. You're cloaked with glory. I don't know about you, but that's the greatest God that I have ever met. That's the greatest God that I have ever come across. A forgiveness that is instant, quicker than a blink of an eye, quicker as speed of light, quicker than anything that you can even imagine. God's forgiveness is that quick. The thing is earth is the only place that you'll ever see that forgiveness. You will not be able to see that forgiveness when you leave this earth. You will not see it. I know that for sure. You will not see the forgiveness of God. So don't think that when you're on your deathbed and you're just ready to leave and you decide to say, hey, can I walk with you now? It might be too late. Why not walk with them now? Why not forsake everything and walk with them now? It's that simple. Don't let unbelief take you. Don't let these thoughts in your mind say, oh, that's not true. That's nonsense. It's your power and your will, and nothing can be done. If you have to just have a positive attitude and a positive this and a positive that. You go right ahead, and I'll watch you fail left and right. You take that power of your own. You take that good attitude of yours. You take that positive thinking. You take all that. Go right ahead. It's humility. And when you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, that's when true power comes. And without humility, you will fail. And those that say, I can do it on my own, it's just a matter of positive thinking and positive good attitudes and positive this, and you go and think that you can do it in your own glory, I will watch you fail. And then I'll watch you make all these excuses. And then I'll watch you point fingers at everybody. And I'll watch you say that nobody cares and nobody understands and no one's helping me, and I'll watch you completely fail. How many people have already experienced that? Come on now. How many people have already blamed and pointed fingers? Let's be honest with ourselves. I already know how the devil works. I already know how self-will works. I already know how it all works. And I also know how God works. I also know how God walks in power. And I also know how when you walk with power, you actually take responsibility. You're never pointing the finger at anyone else as if it was their fault. You're always looking at yourself saying, Lord, how can I improve? You never look at the other person and blame them. You always look at them with compassion and love. Always knowing that they're subject to fall just like you. Never having bitterness or anger in your heart, but always having forgiveness. Willing to restore. Willing to repair the damage. Never running away angry. Never running away blaming. This is what I'm talking about as far as the power of God. And when you walk with God, your life is blessed. How many want to bless their enemies? When you bless your enemies, guess what? They leave you alone. They stop treating you wrongfully. They stop. Their conviction, God begins to convict their heart so bad that they can't even live with themselves. And they leave you alone. And they begin to say to you, it's your life, you live it. Just remember, I'm here. They don't try to hold you captive. And maybe we haven't blessed our enemies enough. Maybe we haven't walked with forgiveness in our heart enough. Listen, you might have said these things in your head, but were they in your heart? Because when you have life in your heart, you show action. Your words are more compelling. Your words are more palatable. They don't take you as you're lying. They take and see sincerity. They see that you really care. They see that you're really meaningful. And what you're saying is true. It's a difference. We can all walk with forgiveness in our minds, but there's no power. They don't believe you. Have you ever said, I love you to somebody, And he said, nah. Well, I guarantee that love came from your head. You need to learn how to say it here in your heart so that they believe. And maybe your actions might speak louder than words. Maybe we're filled with too much word and not enough action. But it's God. And this is why I say, why God? Because it's God. And when we walk in His glory, God makes your words become action. God makes your life manifest His love. God makes your life manifest His forgiveness. You cannot forgive anyone on your own. Even when you say it, if you don't have God in you, you're not forgiven. So if we can have every head bowed for a moment. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are for pulling down strongholds that exalts itself over the knowledge, over the power of God. And those that are here and those that are listening, if you don't know God, today is a day of salvation. Today is the day where you can now begin to know Him like I do. Today is the day. It's simple. Just say, okay, Lord, everything I do now, I'm going to do with You. I'm going to make a conscious effort now to walk in Your glory, to walk knowing You, to walk believing You, to walk in faith. I'm going to make a conscious effort that every time I move, I say, God, are You with me? God, are You here? God, come. God, come with me. God, 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 God. Oh, God, God. And continue to call on His name. When you get up in the morning, just say, God, how are you? I'm doing fine. Good morning. God, what would you like to do now, God? And let Him rule your life. Let Him pick out your clothes. Let Him move you. God, should I stay or should I go? Let Him exercise your feelings. Let Him make you feel the power of His glory. Make Him make your decisions by inspiration, by unction. Let Him anoint you. And most of all, let Him anoint you with the oil of gladness. And have that gladness in Him, knowing that He's there for you. He's your protector. And as you begin to walk in His glory, exercise this gift of salvation, exercise it. And you will see the power of God. If you don't walk it, you'll never see it. Please give it the chance. I beg of you this day. I plead with you. It is my job to plead and beg you to give God that opportunity in your life. And when you give God this opportunity, you will see His glory. You will see His power. You will see His goodness. Father, I thank You, Lord. And my prayer is that You would open up their eyes, those that are listening around the world and those that are here today. I pray, Lord, that by Your Spirit, You open up their eyes, And they will begin to see your glory. Impress on their heart the importance of your power. Impress on their heart the importance of walking with you. Don't let the enemy steal this truth. Don't let the enemy come in and pervert their thoughts. It's by faith you come into their lives. It's by faith that you exist. It's by faith that you can create signs and wonders and miracles in their life. Let them know that it's not by accident that these things are done by chance. Let them think that they can walk around and just believe that it's by chance or by luck. There's no such thing as chance or luck, but glory and defeat. There's only one road that leads to glory, and there is one road that leads to destruction. It's not by accident that you fell on one road. It's not by accident or chance or by luck that you fell on one road. Don't let them be deceived by traditions. Don't let them be deceived by lies. There is one glory and one destruction. It's either glory or death. It's either glory or pain. It's either glory or sorrow. And Father, I pray that you have already started a work, or they would have never heard this word. I pray that you complete the work that you started because they hear this word, and empower them so that their ears will be opened and their eyes will be opened to see. I pray this now. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise and take this word. Gravitate. Listen to it over again. Impart this truth and begin your new salvation. Begin your new life. You might have had a life in him, but strengthen it now. You might have known him, but strengthen it. Let every breath you take it in him. Every move you make, move in him. Every thought you have, go to him. Get a witness. Don't do anything on your own. Amen? Amen. God bless. And I'll see you on Wednesdays if you can make it. We have Wednesday night services here. It's a good time to bring a friend. It's a good time to bring someone. It's a good place to feel comfortable. And continue to keep those in prayer, those loved ones. If you're moved and impressed in your heart, God begins to start seeing some things in people, pray. Just begin to pray. Pray for one another. Begin to learn how to pray for one another. Forget about it. You're worthy. You're worthy to pray for one another. And when you can pray for one another, God begins to be faithful and true and answer your prayers. When we can begin to see other people's lives and pray for their needs, and begin to be that one for them in prayer, God is faithful to answer your prayers. That's another message one day. But I want you to realize it's not about us anymore. Stop looking at your own situation. Start looking at other people's needs. Pray for their needs. Forget about your needs. As you begin to pray for others, God begins to work on your behalf. Amen? Amen. God bless. Greet someone with a hug and a kiss and whatever else you want to do. Be nice about it. Amen.